Good morning, everyone. My name's Matt. We're going to be reading the Bible together now from the book of 1 Peter. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. So that's 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Yeah, hey everyone, look, it's really good that we can now be looking at this part of the Bible, God's Word, together. We always need God's help, because it's actually God's work to open up our minds and our heart to His truth. So why don't we indeed come to Him in prayer and ask Him to do that in our lives. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gift of Your Word. And Father, we pray that indeed that we would be ready, with open, ready hearts, to hear Your truth, to understand Your truth, and to live it out amongst each other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are you like when the pressure is on? Do you stay cool or do you stress out? The other day, the kids and I were playing an online geography game. I know, sounds exciting, right? What it was, we had a map. On the screen, there was a map of the world, and in 10 minutes, you had to name as many countries and their capitals as you could. I wanted to prove that I'm a bit of a geography nerd, that I know my capitals. But then, you know, on the screen, there's the timer, and, you know, the seconds just keep getting knocked off one after another. And in those last 2 minutes with the time winding down, I tell you, my brain just started to freeze. You know, Ukraine, I used to know the capital of Ukraine. What is it? Oh, Iran, what's the capital of Iran? Pressure can do funny things. See, we're all different, different temperaments. I'm sure your family and close friends know what you're like under pressure. When an assignment is due, playing a board game, on the sports field. What you're like when you have to move house, getting ready for an interview. Pressure can do funny things. Here's a scenario. You're talking to your workmates over lunch, and one of them says, so you go to church. Why do you do that? Now, in that moment, are you cool? Or do you start feeling a bit of stress? Or maybe not even as friendly as that. Someone in your class makes the remark, Christians are just brainwashed to believe that stuff. Well, you cool? Or do you start sweating bullets? Pressure can do funny things. Now, this letter in the New Testament is written by the Apostle Peter to Christians who are starting to feel the pressure. These are first-generation Christians in the Roman Empire who they have their God like emperor. And so these Christians are starting to stand out because they follow Jesus. They worship this Jew who was crucified and they say was raised to life again. Compared to their Roman neighbours, their government, their bosses, even their spouses, they don't have the same values, the same priorities, certainly not the same religion, not the same Lord. So they're copping some flack. They're starting to get criticized. They're starting to feel the pressure. Now, I put it to you, when Christians today feel the pressure from our workmates, from our classmates, from the media, from the culture around, you know, that Christianity is dumb, it's stupid, it's outdated, I think there are three ways we tend to go as we respond to that pressure. And I want to introduce to you three words that we're going to come back to over the next couple of weeks. But these words are conform, cocoon, or combat. Let me just go through this. Conform is when you bend to that culture that applies pressure to you. You're criticized for having certain views, so over time you change those views. You're seen as weird in the way you read the Bible, so you start to change the way you read the Bible. It's the desire to fit in. And these days in our culture, the big issues are things like sexuality, gender, conform. What about cocoon? Well, this is about when the pressure's too much, so we retreat into ourselves. We don't spend time with non-Christians. Now, don't engage with their arguments. Just hang out with the believers. We'll just do church together. Cocoon, like wrapping yourself in a nice, cozy doona on a winter's evening. You know, it's comfortable. It's nice. You know, out there with the non-believers, it's hard, and you don't want to be influenced by them. You don't want to conform. So you cocoon. And the third is combat. This is when Christians go on the offensive. The progressive agenda to bring about a new morality will go on the attack and pull them down, demean them, call them names. See, if you're a Christian, depending on your temperament, perhaps even your upbringing, you'll be tempted to respond in any of those three ways. Conform, cocoon, combat. But the Apostle Peter, writing to these first century Christians, living under pressure, has a different view. None of those options is the best option. And we've kept coming back to one verse in this letter as a bit of a summary verse, and it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Now, have a look at, just even think about that one single verse. That is the opposite to conform or cocoon or combat. But in our passage today and next week as well, I want us to see what Christians can do and should do when we come under pressure, when we feel the heat. And I got to tell you, I made a decision to change what I was going to be preaching on this morning. I was going to preach on verses 8 through to verse 17, what Matt read just before, but decided to reduce it down a little bit this morning just to one verse, and that's the very first verse that was read, verse 8. And we'll cover the rest next week. And we're going to keep thinking about conform, cocoon, combat. So let's look at verse 8 where it says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." See, the context is pressure and persecution. And in the face of that, Christians are to be about community and supporting one another. And if you're quick off the mark, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Garnet, didn't you just say that this whole cocooning thing is a bad thing? Well, I just want to say this isn't cocooning. We've seen already in 1 Peter, and we'll see it again next week, we have to be in the world. We have to engage. We're called to do good for others. We need to give a defense. But verse 8, we can't do it alone. Still, church matters. Being with one another matters. And I realize the irony of this. I'm saying this to all of you in your own homes when we can't get together, but community matters. So I want to tease out this one verse with you today. And talking about pressure applied to Christians, I reckon the COVID-19 pandemic has brought about a type of pressure for Christians. No one is saying church is dumb, don't be part of it. But we're all going through this experience where actually by our actions, we're not so part of it. So I think the pressure is actually there to really sort of go with it and start pulling away. Do your own thing. Take the chance to take a break. Now, I'm speaking to those this morning who aren't taking a break because you're here in with this live stream today. But how tempting is it to use Sunday mornings to walk the dog, go for tip runs, work around the house, sleep in, just do your own thing? You know, and then there's the thing of trying to settle the kids, and so you can actually take part in this live stream. You know, crazy times for families, we realise, on a Sunday morning to take in this live stream. And I know the live stream isn't the same as church. I feel it too. But don't respond to this new pressure to move further away. It would be putting yourself in a spiritual danger, you and your family. See, by taking a break, you're getting used to not being part of church. We have to do all that we can to not pull away, as if church doesn't matter. No, we need to draw closer together. That's why we're doing these live streams. That's why we're continuing on, and we think growth groups are really important. There's a verse from the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, it often gets quoted at weddings. And again, congratulations to Andrew and Michelle for their wedding day yesterday. But this is a verse not about marriage, but about friendship, about community. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's a great line, isn't it? That together we're stronger for it. See, with this pandemic pressure, let's do all we can to not pull away, but draw near. We're stronger together. And I just want to tease out a few of these words in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. The first one is like-minded. Now, like-minded at Christ Central doesn't mean we're all alike, that we're clones of one another. We all have the same opinions. We all have the same interests. We all have the same preferences. Just to prove that we've all got our likes and our dislikes. We're all different. I'm just going to get a little bit personal with this right now. See, I'm a middle-aged bloke and who likes running, gardening, camping in a tent, been enjoying on Netflix the documentary about Michael Jordan, hate shopping centres and zucchini. I put sriracha hot sauce on almost everything, and in the car I listen to the ABC. I count eight things there. I mean, anyone here, tick all eight things as well? How many would you tick out of eight for you? See, I just make the point that we're all so very different. We're all not like each other, but if we're Christian, we're to be like-minded in fixing our hope on Jesus Christ. Jesus sacrificed himself at the cross. He was resurrected to life. And in him, and through faith in him, we've been given new birth into a living hope. Our identity is in Jesus. Our future is secure in Jesus. So to be like-minded, well, on Sundays, we're going to keep preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus. This is what our minds and our thoughts need to keep going back to. You know, Christ Central, we're a motley crew of people, so divergent in views and opinions and preferences. You know, on the we're like each other garnet measuring stick, you know, are you 1 out of 8, 0 out of 8? It doesn't matter. Because we're called to be like-minded in our commitment, in our devotion to Jesus. And then out of that common shared devotion to Jesus, we're called to be devoted to one another. So let's now go to some of the other words in this one verse is words like sympathetic, love one another, compassionate. These three words together call on us to really pursue, be active in creating community with each other. I don't know about, and I'm going to say something here. I don't know about you, but I've noticed, and others have noticed too in our church, that now that we're more online than ever before, you know, as a church, we're now using social media than ever before and video conferencing and sending messages. There's just been a little bit of an elevation in the way some people have got it frustrated and offended with each other. You know how tight messages get sent and you don't have the face-to-face thing to express relationship, so the message is misinterpreted in a certain tone, so you feel slighted. It happens. Messages get sent and then messages don't get replied to, and that has an effect as well. Even video conferencing, I don't know about you, but do you find it tiring sometimes? Another thing about these times, people are struggling with mental illness, so that impacts on how they share and how they relate and how they respond. See, I think there are unique relational dangers we're facing right now with the pressure we're under. We can feel tired with each other, frustrated. So then we're tempted to just sort of break from community. It's all too hard. When the pressure's on, we could scatter every man for himself and just be easier. So I urge you, don't check out because it's just too hard. Because they're so weird and they annoy me. We have to be deliberate about this, to sympathize, be compassionate. Again, where are you losing sympathy and compassion for others right now? Because of what they post, because of what they've said, because of what they've done, because of what they haven't done. It's no accident that like-minded is at the very top of this list. See, we're actually called to focus on Jesus first and foremost. We focus on what he's done for us. You know, he died for weak, desperate sinners like us. When we focus on Jesus, it's actually amazing how we find renewed sympathy and compassion for one another. Well, here's the last word in the single verse we're looking at this morning. It's the word humble. Be humble. I mean, all these words have some similarities, don't they? All about community and being united together. But it's worth pointing out, putting some spotlight on this word, humble. In fact, this word has similarities to the first word, like-minded, because like-minded is a combination of two words. Humble is actually similar. It's literally lowly-minded. Like-minded, lowly-minded. Humility, lowly-minded. Is not shy. It's not afraid of getting in front of the camera. It's not having low self-esteem. To be low-minded, humble. Now, when you're a Christian, is to see yourself the way God sees you, as you really are. You know, taking up the language of 1 Peter that we've gone through together as a church, you know, Jesus bore our sins on the cross. By his wounds we are healed. Now, we were like sheep going astray, but we've returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Now, to be lowly-minded, humble, is to know I'm not better than anyone else. We're sinners who've discovered what Jesus has done for us. So no one should in this community act as if they've got something over others. We're together in this. We're fellow sinful wretches. And yet we've seen such mercy to be in the position of God's holy, chosen people, holy nation. That's only because God's chosen us. We've received such mercy. We all need humility in times of pressure, when stress can lead us towards being short with others, running others off, as if their opinion view doesn't matter, really just focusing on ourselves. I mean, think about what we're going through as a church and how we need humility. You know, we've all gone through this very sudden church, this sudden change together, haven't we? And as I spoke just a little bit about before with Matt, we're going to still go through this ongoing change for quite a while yet. And, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, like this, the 8:30 and the 10:30 congregations, the way church used to be at Christ Central, you know, as we respond to those, you know, rules around 1.5 distancing, 4 square meters, we can't meet in the hall just like we used to do. We're not sure what it's going to be like. Come July, we just know we're not going back to what we did before. And that's going to be the same situation for all churches as well. And I know there's varying opinions out there on, you know, following the government restrictions, whether it's necessary, whether it's overkill. But I just urge you, at this time, be humble. Listen and engage. As leadership, we talk about this, but be humble and listen to each other as well, as we just go through this sort of this hard time of change and as we mourn the loss of things. Let's not come in high and mighty. Let's not think the worst of each other. Let's seek to be good listeners, proud, not proud, but humble, like-minded around the gospel of Jesus and lowly-minded as we relate to one another. Well, we've just looked at verse 1 today, one verse today. We'll cover the rest next week. But when we're under pressure, these are the ways we can respond. Conform, cocoon, combat. But even with cocoon, verse 8, it isn't that. You know, retreat from the world. Keep away from the world. We don't want to engage with you. Just hang out with my crew. No, it's not that. But when we're Christian, it really is a team sport. We're to be united and committed to the community, the family of God, of which we're a part, even while we can't actually physically all be together at the moment. It's challenging times right now, stresses and strains. But don't scatter. I urge you, don't check out. Don't take a break. Don't pull away because this community is hard. No, even in these times, let's stick together because of what we have in Christ Jesus. Be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus has done for us, that he came and he suffered for us at the cross. He was raised to life, and in him we've been given new birth into a living hope. Father, please do a work in all of our hearts so that we would be like-minded, that we would have our minds fixed on Jesus, that we'd grow in the knowledge of Jesus, that we'd mature and grow as his disciples. And as we fix our minds on Jesus, as we're devoted to him, please, Father, do a work in all of us that we might be devoted to one another. You know the strains and pressures we're feeling right now. You know the way that we're tempted in all sorts of ways. But, Father, please do a work in us by your Spirit that we might demonstrate Christ's likeness towards one another, that we might be a community of humility, a community where we show such sympathy and compassion and love for one another. And in that, may we glorify the name of Jesus. Again, we thank you for all that he's done for us. And in his name we pray. Amen.